Amen. We thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His word. He is good. He is faithful. Indeed, it's a new month that God has given us the grace to see. The month of September, what a blessing. What a blessing of God. You know, we always look at biblical numbers, and 9 months is always the month of giving birth, you know, and my prayer is that God will give life, God will bring everything that you have been trusting God for, everything that you've been depending upon Him, that it shall be the season that it shall come forth. You know, our God is not a God that brings a woman to the point of delivery and she fails to give birth. No, that's not our God. By wisdom, we are able to come forth, to be brought forth to life, and all we need is midwives. You know, God sends us midwives. God sends us the right people to help us birth our destinies, to birth forth that which has been held back. And just take that promise, that God is ready to give birth. God is ready to bring us forth, to spring us forth, to take us to the next level, to open doors. That which that has been closed up for some time, God is able to bring it forth. And He has been incubating our blessings. He's been incubating that which He has promised us. You know, it might have looked like it has taken forever, but I can assure you, when the time of birth has come, it comes with birth pains. It comes with struggles. It might come with some issues here and there. But the end result is that baby comes forth. And when that baby comes forth, we always forget the pain of labor. We always forget that pain, because the blessing is always much greater than the struggle. Every mother will tell you that pain feels like the end. But then when the baby comes, there is a joy that comes that is greater than any labor, than any pain. And that woman that was saying never again will say, I won't mind another one. That is because there is a blessing that comes. There is a grace that comes when we give birth. And I pray that God will birth forth His promises in our lives, in your life, that you shall experience the favor of God. You shall experience the blessing of God. You shall experience supernatural release, things that were hidden, in many days and many years shall come forth. That which was disturbing, it shall come to an end. That pain that was there, it shall just miraculously vanish. That swelling that was there, it shall miraculously disappear. That diagnosis that was given shall be reversed. Why? Because it is a new month. It is a new day. It is a new season. And you see, that's what God does, you know, and that's what is called the ministry of the Spirit. Yesterday, we were looking at the ministry of the Spirit, and we were able to see that the ministry of the Spirit brings life. If we look at the ministry of the Spirit, which is the glory of the new covenant, it is one that administers life. It administers life. And whereas the ministry of the old covenant administered death, the ministry of the Spirit brings forth life, and we have life. And that is why Paul says, since we have this hope, we use great boldness of speech, in that there is a boldness that comes from the new covenant. There is a great boldness that comes from the Spirit. Why? Because you are reflecting the glory of God. There is a glory that comes not from you, but it comes from God. You know, when the Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels to show that the excellency of the power is not of us, but of from God, it's a constant reminder that it doesn't matter what we are facing. It doesn't matter the struggle. It doesn't matter the attacks. It doesn't matter the diagnosis. It doesn't matter the sicknesses. What stands out is that there is a promise that the treasure, we have a treasure inside of us, that the excellency of the power is not of us, but from God. That tells you that there is a man in you, the heavenly man. When you are born from above, there is that new man. When you're told, put on the new man, created in true holiness. when that new man, when that heavenly man takes over, then you are no longer earthy. The first man was earthy and he was of the dust. But the last man, the last Adam, is the heavenly man, is the man from above. And that is the man that lives inside of us. Our inner man is transformed and conformed to the image and likeness of the man from above. The Bible says, as we have borne the image of the earthy man, therefore we too shall bear the image of the heavenly man. And this transformation is by the Spirit. It's by the Spirit. The old covenant, the ministry of death, that light kept fading and fading, and Moses had to keep covering his face. But whenever he went to see and talk to God face to face, he removed the veil. Can you imagine if that old covenant had glory, that Moses' face was shining? Not even that. What was the effect of the glory of God on Moses? The Bible tells us that when he was 120 years old, his eyes were not dim. His strength was not abated. That means that Moses stayed fresh. He stayed fresh. His body was fresh. His energy was fresh. His eyesight was still as strong. Yet we are told that we have an ever-increasing glory, an all-surpassing glory of the new covenant, of the ministry of the Spirit. That means that nothing in our bodies has the permission to die. No. If Moses, by the presence of God, by beholding the presence of God, stayed strong till 120, that God has to command him to die. God tells him, go on that mountain and there you die. Paul experienced the same, where he says, I am stuck in between the two. I desire to go and be with the Lord, but I also think it is good I stay behind for your own benefit. So what shall I decide? I shall stay for you. Peter, when he's about to die, says, the Lord has made it clear that I will soon lay aside this tent. So it is good for me to remind you of these things before I go. It tells us that these people had a certain revelation of the life of God. Jesus himself says, this life that I have, I lay it aside on my own accord. No one takes it away from me, but I lay it aside. There is a revelation of the new creation, that you are given eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, shall not die, but shall have eternal life. That eternal life does not start when we die, when we leave this earth. That eternal life starts today, starts the day when you receive Jesus. And that life does not end. And that's why the Bible says that when we have fallen asleep, that means the believer only rests on this side. Death was already defeated. Why? Because we have received eternal life, a life without end. A life that has no beginning, no end. And that is why, because we receive the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is eternal. He was there in the beginning. He's there in the present. He is already there in the future. And when you have received eternal life, God changes things that were there in your past. God changes things that are in your present. God changes things that are in your future. Behold, the old man is gone and the new has come. The new man is created in true holiness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Live as the righteousness of God. Remind yourself, confess it, speak it. Let that life of God manipulate every member of your body. Let the life of God flow to every member of your body. The Bible tells us, Romans 8:16, if that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you, it shall give life to your mortal bodies. That same Spirit, if that same Spirit, and by that same Spirit, we cry out, Abba, Father. We did not receive a spirit that makes us a slave to fear. We have nothing to fear. Fear is not our portion. But we have received a spirit of sonship. When you're called a son, you have received every right of a son. When you're adopted as a son of God, you have received every right of inheritance. And the greatest inheritance that God has given us is Himself. God, we are heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. That means that God has given us all things. All things past, all things present, all things future to come. You lack nothing. He that did not spare his own son, how will he not, alongside with him, give us all things? You have all things. The Bible tells us his divine power has given us all that we need for life and godliness through knowledge of him. We lack nothing. God has given us everything. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. The revelation is to stay in Christ. Being in Christ is a place of revelation. When you say in the name of Jesus, it is a place, it is a revelation. There is a place where you are hidden in him. And the Bible says, my life is now hidden in Christ and Christ in God. That is the place where you hide. That is the place where you hide higher. A rock that is higher than I. That is the place where you are hidden on that rock. You are hidden in Christ and that Christ is in God. That is a place where sickness cannot find you, where curses cannot find you, where depression cannot find you, where poverty cannot find you, where fear cannot find you. But the moment we leave that place, then we fall apart. It is the ministry of the Spirit that brings us to life, that brings us to that transformation, that brings us to the boldness, to the boldness, to the courage. I tell you, you need to have courage in the Lord. You need to have strength in the Lord. You need to have confidence in the Lord, confidence in the God that is in you. The Bible says, he that is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. Face this new month with a certain confidence, with a certain boldness. You speak like one. People wonder, are you mad? Yes, you can't be mad because faith sees things that people don't see. Faith speaks things that don't look ordinary. Faith demands of God that which men cannot think as normal. Faith is that which will make the difference in your life. Can you ask God for faith? Faith comes from the word of God. Speak faith. Believe and speak. As you have believed, speak. As you have believed that which you want to see in your life, that which you want to see in this new month, speak it out. Speak it out. Speak it out. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Since we have the hope of the resurrection, since we have the hope of eternal life, since we have this glorious hope that we are looking forward to our Lord and Savior, at any moment he shall sound the trumpet and we shall be raised up with him. We are alive, we shall be caught up in the air, and the dead in Christ shall be the first to rise up, and we shall be with him forever. He has sealed us with his Spirit. He has put a mark on us, a guarantee. He has given us his Spirit as a deposit, as a guarantee, guaranteeing our inheritance. I tell you, you are going to heaven. There is a guarantee that is not of man. That is a new covenant that he has written his laws in our hearts. He has sealed us with that Spirit that will never leave us, that will never forsake us forever. Each and every day we are called to grow by the Spirit. We use great boldness of speech. Verse 13, and like Moses who put a veil only over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. Look at it. He's telling us that Moses, he put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of that which was passing away. Moses knew that that glory that he had was passing. He covered his face so, yes, they could hear him through the veil. They were fearing, but he knew he always had to go back to the presence. And when he went back to the presence, he shone again. He shone again. He shone again. But look here. We are not like Moses. The glory that we have is all excelling. It's all surpassing. It's all glorious. That is the glory of the child of God. We have the glory of Christ. Verse 14, it says, but their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. Only it is in Christ that the veil is taken away. You see, every time Moses is read, every time the Old Testament is read, oh, sacrifice this. Oh, give an offering for this. Oh, you know, if you don't do this, you'll be cursed. Oh, you need to do this. Anytime the Old Testament is used or is preached to us, a veil covers our eyes. And this is what the scripture is saying. When that law of Moses is preached and we forget that it is Christ that has paid the price, we are veiled. We cover our hearts. Our hearts are blinded. You see, there are levels of blindness. There are those who are blind in their eyes. But then there are also those who are blind in the heart. There's a blindness of the heart. There's a blindness of the mind. That means you cannot see Christ. You cannot see that Christ has paid the price. And that's why it gets to a point where you have to be very careful who preaches to you. Who do you listen to? It gets to a point where you don't just listen to everyone. Because one takes away the veil, preaches Christ to you. Then you listen to another, he returns the veil. One, the veil is taken away. Christ has paid the price. Then you listen. Sow a seed for your inheritance. Sow a seed for this child. The veil is put back. And you wonder, oh, so Christ was not enough? I need to do this extra? That is a veil. The veil is taken away in Christ. When the veil is taken away, then you don't see God as far away from you. You see Christ in you, and you see yourself in Christ. That is the mystery of God, the mystery of union. Our union with God is that it's like you in water and water in you. You know, it's like when you put a pen inside a book and you carry that pen in the book, that means that that pen goes everywhere the book is. Also, that book goes everywhere the pen is. There is a union that God has brought us to in Christ. When you're born again, born of the water and of the Spirit, that means that your spirit man is united. The Bible tells us that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. That is where the veil is taken away. Now, if you know that you are united with Christ and your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, what does that tell you? How do you live your life? You can't unite your body to a prostitute. You can't live a life of sin. That's why the Bible says, he that is born of God cannot continue to live in sin. You cannot sin willingly. Why? Because you are born of God. You are created in the righteousness of God. When you learn to live by the Spirit, when you learn to hear the Spirit, when you learn to be taught by the Spirit, you know that the Spirit of God renews you. He restores you. He guides you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He is our guide. He is our protector. He is our healer. To this day, when Moses is read, when the Old Testament is read, the veil remains unlifted, but the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. So there are those who are blind in their eyes, there are those who are blind in the minds, and then there are those who are blind in the hearts. When Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Verse 16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Hallelujah. When you come and understand this man, this heavenly man, this man that is in you, this man that you are created to be like, this man that has taken over your system, this man that has come to give life to your mortal bodies, when you start to see him and when you start to meditate on him, I tell you, sickness disappears. Light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot comprehend it. When you start to remember the life of God, when you start to speak it, confess it, pain leaves your body. Just imagine, let that truth sink in, that Christ, the Lord, when you turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You are united with Christ. You are joined together with him. Verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. The Lord is that Spirit. The Lord is that Spirit. That means Christ is that Spirit. Jesus is that same Spirit that came to live in us. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. You cannot be a slave again. You cannot be in bondage to practices. You cannot be in bondage to addictions. No. When you come to the Lord, no one can bind the Lord. The devil cannot bind the Lord. We are only binded by our ignorance. It is only ignorance that leaves us captives. When Christ sets us free, the Bible tells us that he that the Son sets free is free indeed. There are many people who the prison gates are open, but they can't get out because their minds are blinded, their hearts are blinded. They are not yet brought to the liberty. Jesus himself said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives." You know, there are those who are in prison of their own mistakes. Those ones are legal prisoners. You've made mistakes. But then there are those who are captives out of ignorance, out of their own. They have no power. When you are taken a prisoner of war, you are a captive. But Jesus came to proclaim liberty to the captives. He came to set free the prisoners, those who are in prison. That means those who are legally and illegally in prison. When you come to the Spirit of the Lord, you receive your liberty. You can be free. You are made free. Walk out of that prison of addictions. Walk out of that prison. Tell that addiction, today is the last. You have no power over me. Why? Because that old man was buried. It was killed. It died. There's a new man in you that is above sin. There's a new man in you that defeated sin. There's a new man in you that is created in true holiness and righteousness. There's a new man in you that has given you the liberty. That's why the Bible says, when you understand this, verse 18, but we all, when you understand this, then all of us with unveiled faces, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. Let's rewrite it again. It says, but we all, we Christians, we who have believed, we who have received the ministry of the Spirit, with unveiled face, our faces are open. We can see the Lord. We behold as in a mirror. We are seeing the Lord as you know, beholding the Lord is staying by the word, is worshiping God, is reading the word of God, is fasting, is taking time to reflect, to meditate on God as you behold, like the same way you will be seeing things in a mirror. Then you glory of God. That means that which you see of the glory of God, you have a right to receive it. What you see of God, you receive it. The glory of the Lord, you are being transformed into the same image. That means that which you see of God, you have the right to possess. What you see, you become. If you see God as a healer, you become a healer. If you see God as a deliverer, you become a deliverer. If you see God as wealthy, as rich, you also experience the same wealth and riches. If you see God as power, you receive the same. You are transformed into the same image. That which you behold is what you become. That which you behold is what you become. The image of God that you have is the power of God that will manifest in you. Your revelation determines your manifestation. That which you know of God, that which you reflect of God, is what will be seen in your life. I tell you, your confidence in God comes from what you know of Him. He has already told us His divine power has given us all, not that will give us, has already given us all that we need of life, in life and godliness through knowledge of Him. What you know of God will make you effective and productive in your life. You know God, you behold Him, you see Him, you manifest Him into the same image from glory to glory. That means you are ever increasing in glory. You see, God is not like static. God is like, he's so indescribable that each time the 24 elders look at Him, he changes and increases in glory, that they just worship Him again and they bow down again. Likewise, we too, each time we think of God, each time He reveals a measure of Himself to us, and you believe that measure, then you manifest it too, because we are reflections of Him. We reflect His glory, and we are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of God. I don't know who desires to grow from glory to glory. Behold Him. Behold Him. Stay by Him. Experience Him. Live by Him. See what He has done. See the Word of God. See what He is saying about you. See how you are like Him. He is in you and you are in Him. And that is why when you encounter the enemy has to flee, because you are united with Him. I'll stop here and I pray that the Lord will give us more insight into this. Amen. Okay. If there's anything, you can come in. If not, we can pray. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father and Lord, I thank You for Your word. That is enough. We have nothing else to add but to say thank You. For what such a great blessing, oh, what such a love that You chose to live inside of us, that You made us in Your image and likeness, that You can dwell in us. And by that You've given us eternal life, the power of the Most High God, the power of the Spirit, that You've given us Your glory. You chose to share Your glory with us. You are delighted to bring many sons into glory. And for that, it humbles us. It makes us to love You even better. May You walk with us, strengthen us, renew us, be our shield, be our portion, be our all in all. May glory be made manifest in our lives. And anything that is contrary to glory, we cancel it in the name of Jesus. It is illegal in our bodies, illegal in our lives. Father, I thank You that You have made us to be glorious. May Your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead.